Hello, and welcome to Lesson 1 on Toxic Relationships and Love Addiction. We are biologically hardwired to connect with other people and go through life two by two, and culturally hardwired to be in formal relationship. For some people, this hardwiring goes haywire, and they see life as a choice between living in a kind of fantasy, romance novel, or the sheer hell of them being unattached. In healthy relationships, after the initial attraction, where couples idealize each other and attach to each other, love matures and changes. For example, it becomes less intense, but much more secure. However, with people with relationship addiction, never get past the initial stages of falling in love. They are obsessed with the idea of being in a romantic relationship no matter what. They become dependent on their object of desire, hoping somehow this person will complete their life and create a kind of happily ever after. Their relationships are unrealistic, so inevitably they are disappointed. Their relationships are ultimately never truly satisfying, yet they can't seem to live without them. Relationships pile up, becoming increasingly tangled and messy. Romance becomes serial disasters because they jump in again and again and again without first doing the work of unearthing the trauma and the issues that keep them in their cycle of addiction. A breakup, even a really tough one, can be a chance to learn from the past and build something new. However, people need sufficient time to recover and get their priorities straight before entering into their new relationship. If they don't take the time to heal, they tend to repeat their mistakes. Love addicts are so in love with love, they continually move from one romance to another. Always on the rebound, never giving themselves time to heal and learn how to be independent. They hook up again and again, just to avoid feeling lonely, or worse, to avoid feeling abnormal. But there are things that happen to us in love-addicted relationships that if we don't learn from them and don't realize why we are picking who we are picking, we will keep repeating. And that is most likely why you're here taking this course. All addictions have one thing in common. In the beginning stages, they're an attempt to control pleasure and pain by inducing experiences that alleviate boredom, promote a feeling of well-being, provide an escape from pain and sorrow. The only difference between one addiction and another is the hook or the experience, which helps the addicts manage life's highs and lows. For example, with alcoholism, this hook is either the personality change that comes with getting drunk, the escape from oneself, or the release of inhibitions, liquid courage, you'd say, or the anesthetizing effects of alcohol, its ability to deaden painful feelings and self-medicate. With drug addiction, the hook is the mind-altering experience of getting high, an escape from boredom, reality, or pain. With work addiction, the hook is this distraction that comes from focused concentration on an activity. With overeating, it's the unconscious association between food and nurturing, and this alleviates the emotional pain that comes from one's infantile fear of abandonment. And with sex addiction, the hook is the experience of escaping into a euphoric high stimulated by sexual activity. When it comes to love, we have two different hooks: romantic fantasies, which help deaden feelings of loneliness and rejection by promising happiness ever after, a hope for the future, and the experience of attachment or bonding, which abates our conscious and unconscious fear of abandonment and falsely promises to eliminate, diminish, or at least compensate for that profound loneliness and low self-esteem. While the hook, which draws the love addict into the addiction process, is unique, the progression of the disorder is not. Once hooked, the addict experiences a euphoric beginning followed by a decline in the reinforcing effects of the addiction, and the eventual emergence of all life-threatening problems associated with dependency. This is the dark side of romantic love and relationships. This is the pain and the suffering at its worst. And for many unfortunate men and women, this is the story of their lives. So there are different types of love addicts. In the last decade, a lot has changed in the world of love addiction. Not that love addiction itself has changed. It is pretty much the same insidious disorder it's always been. What has changed is how the world looks at it. 20 years ago, our understanding of love addiction was still emerging out of our understanding of codependency. Therefore, love addiction and codependency seem to be one and the same. However, today we understand that this is not true. Love addiction stands on alone, and codependency is only one of several underlying personality disorders. To make it perfectly clear how one love addict differs from here is a comprehensive list. So we have the obsessed love addict, the OLA, and that person cannot let go. Even if the partners are unavailable emotionally or sexually, even if they're afraid to commit, cannot communicate, they're unloving, distant, abusive, controlling, and are dictatorial. Afraid to commit, cannot communicate, unloving, distant, abusive, controlling, and authoritative, egocentric, selfish, or addicted to something outside the relationship. Hobbies, drugs, alcohol, sex, someone else, gambling, shopping, whatever it is. Now there's codependent love addicts, the CLAs. They're the most widely recognized. They fit a pretty standard profile. Most of them suffer from low self-esteem and have a certain predictable way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. This means that from a place of insecurity and low self-esteem, they try desperately to hold on to the people they are addicted to, using codependent behaviors. This includes enabling, rescuing, caretaking, passive-aggressive controlling, and accepting neglect or abuse. In general, codependent love addicts will do anything to take care of their partners in the hope that they will not leave or that someday they will reciprocate. Then there are relationship addicts, RAS. Unlike other love addicts, are no longer in love with their partners, but they cannot let go. Usually they are so unhappy that the relationship is usually affecting their health, spirit, and emotional well-being. Even if their partner batters them and they are in danger, they cannot let go. They are so afraid of being alone. They're afraid of change. They do not want to hurt or abandon their partners. And this can be described as, I hate you, don't leave me. Then we have the narcissistic love addicts, the NLAs, and they use dominance, seduction, and withholding to control their partners. Unlike codependents, who accept a lot of discomfort, narcissists won't put up with anything that interferes with their happiness. They are self-absorbed and their self-esteem is so low and it's masked by their grandiosity. Furthermore, rather than seeming to obsess about the relationship, NLAs appear aloof and unconcerned. They do not appear to be addicted at all. Rarely do you even know that NLAs are hooked until you try to leave them. Then they will no longer be aloof and uncaring. They will panic and use anything at their disposal to hold on to the relationship, including violence. Many professionals have rejected the idea that narcissists can be love addicts. This may be because they rarely come in for treatment. However, if you've ever seen how some narcissists react to perceived or real abandonment, you will see that they are indeed hooked. And then there are the ambivalent love addicts who suffer from avoidant personality disorder or what SLAA calls emotional anorexia. They don't have a hard time letting go. They have a hard time moving forward. They desperately crave love, but at the same time, they're terrified of intimacy. This combination is agonizing. ALAs come in different forms too, and they're listed here. Torchbearers are ALAs who obsess about someone who is unavailable. This can be done without acting out, suffering in silence, or by pursuing the person they are in love with. Some torchbearers are more addicted than others. This kind of addiction feeds on fantasies and illusions. It's also known as unrequited love. Then there are the saboteurs. They're the ALAs who destroy relationships when they start to get serious or at whatever point their fear of intimacy comes up. This can be any time before the first date, after the first date, after sex, after the subject of commitment comes up, whenever. And then there's the seductive withholders. They are the ALAs who always come onto you when they want sex or companionship, when they become frightened or feel unsafe. They begin withholding companionship, sex, affection, anything that makes them feel anxious if they leave the relationship. When they become frightened, they are just saboteurs. If they keep coming back, they're seductive withholders. And then there are the romance addicts. They are the ALAs who are addicted to multiple partners. Unlike sex addicts who are trying to avoid bonding altogether, romance addicts bond with each of their partners to one degree or another. Even if the romantic liaisons are short-lived or happening simultaneously. By romance, I mean sexual passion or pseudo-emotional intimacy. And please note that while romance addicts bond with each other, their partners to a degree, their goal, besides getting high off of romance and drama, is to avoid commitment or bonding on a deeper level with a partner. And often romance addicts are confused with sex addicts. And just a little note about ALAs, not all avoidance are love addicts. If you accept your fear of intimacy and social situations and do not get hooked on unavailable people, or just keep your social circle small and unthreatening, you are not necessarily an ALA. But if you eat your heart out over some available person year after year, or sabotage one relationship after another, or have serial romantic affairs, or only feel close when you're with another avoidant, you may be an ambivalent love addict. What are ambivalent love addicts? Those are the ones who vacillate between love addiction and love avoidance are called ambivalent love addicts. Most love addicts and love avoidance are ambivalent at one time or another. They crave love, but they also fear it. The most famous kind of ambivalent love addict is a narcissist. On the surface, the narcissist appears to be an avoidant. He or she is usually aloof, detached, self-confident, self-centered, domineering, and/or afraid of commitment. However, when you leave a narcissist, they can turn into love addicts because they can't handle being rejected. They can't handle the abandonment. They turn to manipulation, aggression, and even violence to hold on. So what are the characteristics of the ambivalent love addict? Ambivalent love addicts, ALAs, crave love, but they also fear it. They avoid intimacy altogether by obsessing about love through romantic fantasies about unavailable people. They only get involved and obsess about emotionally unavailable people. They become addicted to romantic affairs rather than committed relationships. They become addicted to people and then sabotage the relationships when their fear of intimacy comes up. They often initiate relationships with more than one person at the same time in order to avoid moving to a deeper level with any one person, and then become addicted to the whole group. They break up and make up over and over again in the same relationship and become addicted to this pattern. They sexualize relationships to such a degree that emotional intimacy is non-existent and then become addicted to either the sex or the relationship or both. No matter how addicted they are, they cannot commit to the future. They live in the moment. They cannot love, commit, obsess, and even become addicted. However, this will go hand in hand with avoidance tactics. Like a difficulty with affection and opening up emotionally. They are there and then they're not there. They come close and then they move away. You know, come close, move away. They let other things outside of the relationship get in the way. Hobbies, work, friends, lovers, addictions, anything. They just cannot open up to a deeper level of emotional intimacy. And yet they're unable to let go of the relationship. Then there are the combinations. You may find that you have more than one type of love addiction. Many of these types overlap and combine themselves with other behavioral problems. For instance, you may be a codependent alcoholic love addict or a love relationship addict. The most important thing to identify is your own personal profile so you know what you are dealing with. Robert was a love addict, a relationship addict, romance addict, and a sex addict. He was married but did not want to divorce his wife of 20 years, even though he was not in love with her. He was a relationship addict. His hobby was masturbating to pornography when his wife was not home, sex addiction. He had affairs with several other women simultaneously without his wife finding out. He really cared about each of these women. He was a romance addict. He was a combination. One day he met Jennifer and fell in love with her, and it did not take long before he was obsessed with her. She did not want to be with him because he was married, so he began stalking and harassing her. He became a love addict. Robert finally got into recovery, divorced his wife, gave up the pornography and affairs, and married the woman he was obsessed with. At first, his jealousy was out of control, but after a few years of therapy and 12-step meetings, he began to trust his new wife because she was mature, well-grounded, and had high self-esteem. the relationship began to normalize. Today, all of Robert's addictions are in remission. Narcissists and codependents. It's very common for love addicts to end up in relationships with other love addicts. And the most common kind of love addict couple is, as you might have guessed, the codependent and the narcissist. In the beginning, narcissists are often very seductive. After they've hooked their codependent partners, however, they change. Here's an example of a narcissist codependent relationship. We'll have much more of that later in a lesson on being aware of the narcissist on the horizon. Nancy and James met at a bar and were instantly attracted to one another. And within days, Nancy, the codependent, had fallen madly in love with James, the narcissist. And from the beginning, she was helpful, nurturing, attentive, and went out of her way to make him happy. James, on the other hand, appeared to be able to take or leave the relationship after they made love. He canceled dates, neglected to return phone calls, saw other women, became very domineering, and for the most part seemed aloof and detached. Still, 6 months later, Nancy married James because she was in love with him and secretly hoped that he would change. After Nancy and James were married, the pattern of neglect continued, especially his affairs with other women. And when Nancy objected, James bullied her until she stopped nagging him about it. This went on for years. Nancy tried to save her marriage by placing James in every way she could think of, but he continued to do what he wanted. Eventually, Nancy stopped loving James and thought about leaving him, but she just couldn't bring herself to face the loneliness of being single again. This was better than nothing, she thought, so she continued her codependent behavior, always trying to keep James happy and comfortable, even if it meant sacrificing her own happiness in the process. Eventually, Nancy sought counseling, and within a year, she felt strong enough to leave James. And he had other ideas. The first time Nancy brought up the subject of divorce, he laughed at her. Then he threatened her verbally. The day she presented him with divorce papers, he beat her so badly she had to go to the hospital. It seems that despite his lack of love and respect for Nancy, James was addicted to her and the relationship they shared. He also felt that if he couldn't have her, nobody else could. Eventually, Nancy got away from James, even though he stalked her for months, threatening to kill her if she didn't come back. Thankfully, eventually let go. However, you only have to read the newspapers to realize that such a lethal combination of codependency and narcissism can lead to homicide.